in all their performances, and here is no exception. You know, I first, in a way, got to know Catherine Keener from The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and she's getting better every time I see her. Often, former spouses are at each other's throats, as bad feelings from a breakup can linger for an eternity. In Cyrus, there still is a connection between John and Jamie, though it now falls into the feeling sorry category.
She can say, who knows what she's gonna say. She can say, who knows what she's gonna say. She can say. The day that she stands up for everything that she chose. Taking the kids and driving away, and turn around the life she let him siphon away. And I've been with you for all of these years. Well, tell me what I've got to show for all my tears. The times you hurt me and treated me wrong. Well, something's got to give to stop this thing from going on. She can say, who knows what she's gonna say. She can say, who knows what she's gonna say. She can say.
Was Owen Pallett covering one of my favorite tracks from last year. That was Odessa, one man on stage doing the job of seven. And this is Shameless on 119 FM CITR. I'm Jonathan, fairly upset that no one out there answered my Craigslist ad looking for a miso soup stirrer. Natalie, this is my fault to you.
Wasn't my fault. Looking for a job, coming across some ridiculous things. You get a free kimono every month? Stir somebody's miso soup?
Sounds I got like a surprise deal. For you later, too.
Uh-oh.
Been waiting all week to show it to you.
What? Are you going to stir my miso soup?
Curses. So tonight's show is going to be like too much luggage for the suitcase for your trip, or too much stir-fry for your pan. With us tonight, a singer-songwriter, someone I met at many months ago at a meet-and-greet over at the Biltmore. Miss Jody Deutsch, how's it going over there?
Good. I'm already lost, but I'm good. With the miso soup thing.
We'll help you find your way.
Okay.
Yes. It's okay. That's how I feel all the time.
The event itself is kind of like speed dating. If it was all business and everyone spoke to each other at the same time.
Awesome.
Yeah. We had a good chat.
Yeah.
And you made a commitment to come to the show.
Oh, you're talking, yes, the schmooze party.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was good. You're the one good thing that came out of the whole night.
Aw.
Shucks. Well, also in this program, I'll be chatting with Sun Wizard about lunch, music, and a street festival they're playing next Saturday called Catsalano over in Kitts. And I'll also be in conversation with Mr. Shotgun Jimmy, whom I met outside of an event last weekend. It was a great time. And first up, I have a song written about Shotgun Jimmy from his brother in arms, Joel Plaskett. Hey, if someone writes a song about you, you know that song's going to get played quite a bit. And that song is appropriately titled Jimmy is Still Jimmy on Shameless. 1019 CITR.
Jimmy's still Jimmy, and I'm still me, and I'm tired of working for your company. Time to move on, but my heart's in traction. Tongue-tied bar talk, no more action. Silence is golden unless, of course, you're lonely. If jealousy is ugly, then I'm looking pretty homely. The lights are getting brighter, but the stage is getting darker. Words on paper in a permanent marker. Late night newscast, travel large hum. Remote control, channel changing, undecided number. Lost for the language when the real world beckons. Can I have your attention for 45 seconds? Ooh, la, 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 la. Remove my conscience. Ooh, la, 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 la. Wake me up later. Ooh, la, 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 la. And let me go home. Home. City's gonna sprawl and our body's gonna climb. Guess I gotta make the call on my own damn dime. Cooker. I like to shoot pool, but I won't play snooker. I don't got the patience to wait for the payoff. I think I'm in the ballpark.
No, man, you're way off.
Knock me unconscious. Best imagine in the worst. If life's for water, I would be down to thirst. Time to get home, call up the scum. Say, alright, boys, let's go get drunk.
Yeah.
Lost in the night in a power outage daydream, trying to make it right, but I'm stuck inside a rhyme scheme. Wanna break my habits, think that I can do it. 5, 6, 7, 8, baby, I blew it. Knock me unconscious. Remove my conscience.
Transistor Sister, the latest album from the Maritime's favorite son, Shotgun Jimmy. Stereo and Stove was the track here on 101.9 FM, CITR. I've been doing an extended feature on how to tour, and it is my pleasure to take the finer points of booking a tour with the man himself, having been on the road pretty much regularly since 2003 with his days starting out as part of Shotgun and Jaybird. Hanging outside the legendary Zoo Shop, I have Shotgun Jimmy here with me. Thanks so much for the chat today.
Thanks for coming down to see me this evening.
How's the tour been going so far?
It's been dynamite. I'm on tour with my dream band right now, Cross Canada Tour, so it's pretty exciting. For my first time bringing out a hot rock band with me on the road. I've tagged along with other great bands before and played with them, but this is my first time being in charge or whatever. Big steps, big steps.
How's it feel to be the captain of your ship?
It feels pretty good. There's a bit of extra stress involved, but, you know, I'm getting to be an adult now, and I've kind of got it figured out. Ooh, we're doing this interview it's just outside of a nightclub. I don't know if you folks in Radioland can hear that, but...
Very nice. So how do you decide when the time is right to go on tour?
This tour was designed to get me out onto the West Coast so I could go up to Dawson City for the Dawson City Music Festival. I mean, some people are more strategic with their decisions career-wise than I am. I'm kind of fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants style. So I had this opportunity to play in the Yukon and just did this to make it happen, a means to an end. But it also worked out that I have an album out right now, and this is my first time touring the album out here. And just, I'm on the immaculate schedule right now.
And what would the first step be in booking a tour?
Ooh. Well, for me, it's different because I've done it a bunch of times. So this time around, it's kind of like emailing old friends and being like, hey, what's up, man? I'm coming through. How about this day? But at first, it wasn't like that at all. It was a lot more formal and kind of, you know, you make a pitch. You kind of find out where other people are doing it, where they're playing shows. That's what doing it is, playing shows. And then you sort of think about, like, whether or not it makes sense for you to be doing it there, playing shows, that is. Because just because another band's playing in a place doesn't necessarily mean it's the right place for you to play at. So there's many things to factor in. But once you've selected a place based on its appropriateness and availability, then you just sort of make your pitch and say, like, this is what I do, and I think I'd be a good fit for these reasons, and it's part of this big picture or whatever, and, you know, get the ball rolling.
Is it hard to book a show at a place you've potentially never been to?
Well, it depends on if they're familiar with the work you do, then it's a lot easier. If they have no idea where you're coming from, then it can be a bit difficult. But I usually don't put myself in those situations. I kind of don't. I'd rather be going somewhere where people are excited to have me there. And, I mean, that isn't necessarily based on the fact that they are familiar with my work. It's just that there's some places that are just interested in having, like, unique live music or whatever. And I found touring in Europe, like, everywhere I played, it was the first time that I played there. But a lot of people were very welcoming and excited to have me there, even though I'd never been. So it's just, I prefer to work with people that are interested in new music and having people out, that kind of thing.
In that regard, how does touring on the East Coast differ from the West Coast?
It's not incredibly different. I mean, the drives are a lot longer out here. Oh, I just drove from Calgary today to Vancouver. That's where we're doing the interview right now. And it was pretty painful. It's a long haul. It's like 11 hours or something like that. But in terms of, like, hospitality and... like the scene or whatever, it's pretty much the same. I mean, East Coasters are a unique brand of people, as are West Coasters, but not in terms of, like, bar scene or whatever. It's not that different. It's kind of the same game, I think, in Canada for the most part. Just geography.
Is there anything you do to keep sane on the road during those long hauls?
It's good. I've just recently developed the pull over and sleep for 15 minutes technique, which is new to me. I would usually just, like, go on for a full-on sleep as long as you want sort of thing in the past when you get too tired. But lately, it's been working great, you know, pull over and then maybe set my alarm for 20 minutes or something, figuring it'll take me about 5 to fall asleep. And it's such an amazing refresher, that power nap. I just come back behind the wheel again, like, courageous and ready for hours more driving. So it's a new technique that keeps me fresh and sane and alive. I actually like it when I get to the point where I'm like, oh, it's time for a power nap, instead of being like, oh, I'm gonna have to pull over because this is just painful. It's kind of an exciting thing to look forward to, a sweet, uncomfortable, hot power nap in the Chev Cav.
So following up on that, do you have any advice for newer bands that want to take it to the road?
I say surround yourself with people that you want to be around. Go on tour with other bands that you think are pleasant, interesting individuals. Anyone that you're going to do any business with in this music business or whatever, make them good people. Bring the good people with you. Go out with the good people. It's so much more enjoyable. Don't try and get ahead by hanging out with lousy people. Just stick with the real good people. That's what I say.
Nice. And finally, is there anything you would do differently?
Anything I would do differently? No, I feel like I'm doing a great job right now. Things are going well. No regrets to this. At this point, absolutely no regrets. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. I'm doing what I love to do, and I am surrounded by amazing people. So
even right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man, everybody's cool. It's good vibes. Tonight's unbelievable. The show's going to be amazing. This is just as a side note, this is my dream bill. Huge Apollo Ghost fan, like unbelievably huge fan. And of course, the Doubters. Mega fan too. This is my dream show. So I'm playing with my dream band. Brian Peters from the Doubters is playing drums with me, and then Ian Kehoe from Attack and Black's playing bass. Unstoppable show, unstoppable band. Gonna play some extra guitar solos tonight. It's gonna be unbelievable. I'm stoked.
Me too. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for taking time to talk to me.
Shotgun Jimmy is heading up to the Dawson City Music Festival for 4 days straight, starting tomorrow, before getting a hero's homecoming at Sappy Fest in his home of Sackville, New Brunswick, at the end of the month. Here now on Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR is Shotgun Jimmy with Bars Closed.
The bars closed. It's time to go home. It's not too cold to walk it. I have a beer in my pocket. They say that you are what you eat. And I feel like I must have ate a king. And it's amazingly quiet on this street tonight.
Yeah.
That was a set conceived entirely by bands mentioned by Shotgun Jimmy in the interview conducted prior. We started it off with Attack in Black from their self-titled 2005 debut. That was Doctor Doctor, something a bit more hardcore from where they came from. And we just had Duffy and the Doubters recorded live at the legendary Zoo Shop record store here in Vancouver this past weekend. Now, the bassist of Duffy and the Doubters had always looked so familiar to me. It took me the longest time to realize just where I'd been seeing him all this time. And then it hit me. He is the guy who works in Lucy's Diner. Not to, you know, expose him or anything, but, you know, he's the... I don't know if he owns the store or what, but he certainly struts around like he does. Not to mention the fact that I do quite a few interviews for Shameless over in Lucy's Diner because I like the ambience, I like the music they play over the speakers. But every time I take an interview home and listen to it, I always notice that the background music, the Coolio or the whatever, always kind of just fades away ever so slightly. And, you know, as much as I like the music as part of the atmosphere, I also just got to appreciate that they notice what I'm doing. And they want to give me as nice an environment as possible. However, there was one great band left out of that set. Shotgun Jimmy said he was a huge fan. And we are too. This is the Apollo Ghosts from their latest EP, Money Has No Heart, released not even a month ago. It's their simultaneous tribute to the Vancouver punk scene and the Nanaimo 4-track scene. Yes, there is such a thing, for we have seen it. This is Night Vision on Shameless 101.9 FM, CITR, number 2 on the charts.
Wednesday, July 13th. Get ready for an awesome Edmonton dance party in Vancouver. Our friends over at WinnieCooper.net are throwing a rad party at the Astoria with some awesome Edmonton, Alberta bands. There for the night will be Doug Hoyer and the Joe. Don't forget about Winnie Cooper DJs Tristan Orchard and Woe Bangs and Mile High DJs Matt and Dylan. Make sure you check it out. Doors are at 9, bands are at 10, and it's $8 to get in. See you there.
It only cost about $4.
I'm scared to death, but I don't know.
Was local singer-songwriter Jody Deutsch calls Vancouver home. The track "Let Me In" on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR. So good to have you all along listening in. So good to have you here too, Miss Jody Deutsch.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
How's it going over there? How you feeling?
Good. Yeah, I'm smiling. You can't see.
You can see.
You can see it's in the voice. So you played quite a few venues around town.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Jody Deutsch experience like?
Well, depending on where I'm playing, it's pretty intimate. My music is not hardcore in any way, so it's... I usually play in like coffee shops or just smaller venues right now, so it's just a nice place to be able to interact with the audience and sort of just goof around and try and make people laugh and enjoy the whole thing, not just the music but the show as well. So at least I'm trying to make people laugh. It doesn't always work.
You played some bigger venues too, like the Railway and the Media Club.
Yeah, that was fun.
Does that differ a lot from a coffee shop?
Oh, yeah. For one, just the sound, having like proper mixing and a sound system and just being able to hear yourself come through that is pretty cool. So I always enjoy being able to actually experience what it sounds like in a major venue, I guess.
And you also busk, too. Is busking even more different? If that's even words that should go together in a question. Is it more of a grind or a different feeling you get from busking than doing shows?
Yeah, I've only done it a couple times, but it's... You're kind of just more background noise, I guess. It's kind of hard to catch people's attention when you're playing acoustic and outdoors because they can't really hear you. And it's just fun to see what kind of people stop by. And my friend and I did it during the Olympics down on Granville Street. And it was just a weird coincidence. We ran into two people, one that she knew and one that I knew. And they're like, one guy was like, "Hey, haven't I seen you guys at, Wired Monk or something like that?" So it's still kind of fun, like the serendipitous sort of event that happened when you're out in the street.
Does it ever turn into a grind?
A grind?
I don't know. I always walk by buskers, and they always giving it their all.
Oh, I see.
But I have to wonder how long you've been seeing them for. Have you been out there for hours?
Your hands do get really cold, and your throat gets really sore because you're trying to be louder than the noise around you, so it can be sort of a little less... art, more sort of like sort of attention. You're trying to just get people's attention, so you're just playing ridiculously loud songs that you wouldn't normally play, and you just forego all your nice quiet things. And so yeah. A little bit.
Would you like to make some noise around us? Loud or quiet, it's all good. Play maybe a
what
couple
kind
songs.
Of noise? No, just kidding. Yes, I would love to. I happen to have my guitar here, so...
Mr. Hugo Noriega came in here, saw your guitar, got pumped. We got one fan already. And that just takes a lot to pump him up.
Well, I hope he's listening.
I think he is.
I hope he likes it.
Better be.
I can play a newer song. It's called Maybe Next Time. Maybe next time I'll be wiser, and I'll keep my mouth shut, let you do the talking. You liked it. Thank you. I was going to say that was for that guy, and I forgot his name. I'm such a jerk.
Well, let's call him Jonathan Brown.
Okay.
Would you like to play one more, perhaps?
Sure. I'm going to play this sort of... I wrote it in... Well, it's for a contest, actually. I don't know if you knew about it, but it's a one-song challenge, and this is the song I wrote, and hopefully no one's listening and they're going to steal it for our competition tomorrow. But we have to, basically, we're given a challenge to write one song a week for 8 weeks, and it's being hosted at the Corduroy Lounge in Kits every Thursday night, and there's 8 of us, local singer-songwriters, and And the challenge this week, selected by the audience, is to write a song called Coconut Instincts. So, this is my version of Coconut Instinct. Okay.
Get your midweek Roots Music Fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, two eclectic hours of Roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR-FM 101.9 and www.citr.ca.
What's eating me?
your freedom I stole.
That was the title track, Little Love Songs, from the album Little Love Songs, recorded by our very own Jody Deutsch, here with us in the studio right now. Did I say that backwards?
No.
Title track, yeah. I know what I'm doing. Before that, we had an album I thought you might enjoy. You all might enjoy it. It was You Say Party, covering Love Makes the World Go Round, as made famous by one Perry Como. I think Ashley Simpson might have done a cover of that once, too. But I didn't look it up to make sure. It's from an entire Paper Bag Records compilation, all of covers. As far and wide as possible. Papa Don't Preach is on there. Bunch of good stuff. Mm. Might play it in future Shamelesses. And we started that set off with Paper Maps out of Toronto from their self-titled debut, Can't Make a Living. I also thought you might enjoy that.
I did.
Yeah. That had a good Jody Deutsch vibe going on there.
You've read my aura and played the music we needed. Or maybe not.
Speaking of auras, should we get some more Jody Deutsch style going?
Sure.
Live?
La-la-la-live. I wish I'd written a set list. Let's see. I will play a song, you know what? Isn't it funny? I find every time I play live, I always forget my songs. I wish I didn't. This song is called Drummer in a Band, and it's kind of a funny country little tune, and it's on the EP, and it kind of started off as a joke song. I thought it was ridiculous, but then all my friends like kept asking me to play it. They're like, I love that song. And it turned into something really cool. So it's Drummer in a Band. Thank you. to see him up on stage. I lose myself all over again. Oh, oh, I love you. Oh, oh, won't you love me too? Oh, you, oh, you, oh, you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very nice, Miss Jody Deutsch.
Thank you.
That was well played.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Well played.
Literally. So I was wondering if your recording process for Little Love Songs was any different than the live shows that you do.
Ooh. Very different. It was really a very difficult process in terms of singing for myself, because on the album there's tons of harmonies, and you wouldn't believe how difficult it is to sing along to yourself and hearing the different inflections and the different sort of patterns you're making while you're singing, just like little bits here and there, like a certain emphasis on certain words, and then trying to sing along to that absolutely perfect. So there's some frustrating moments where I was like, wanted to pull my hair out, because I'm like, I can't do it. And it was fun. The whole process took about 2 weeks, so that included laying down drum and bass tracks like one day, and then going in and doing like guitar and then vocals and then guitar and stuff, and it sort of spanned, each day was something different, and checking off each thing as you went along, so yeah, it was fun.
And the album itself also has a cover painted by fellow Canadian singer-songwriter Jen Grant.
Yes.
How'd that come about?
I was at work. I shouldn't even be telling this, but I was on Facebook, and I had her on there, and she just in the middle of the day had posted a note saying, you know, is anyone looking for to commission an art piece and something to do with cover art? And so I emailed her like right away, and I was like, oh, I would love that. I love your music. She's for me a really big inspiration. So that was about, I don't even know, 5 months ago or something like that, and we'd been emailing back and forth, and so she basically I commissioned her to do a painting from scratch with just some general ideas that I had. She sent it. I just got it in the mail a couple days ago, so I was really excited. It looks really cool. So we're going to photograph it and then make it the front and back of the album.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it when a scene comes together.
It was cool. It was like magic. I was like, oh. And then I got to meet her when she was here, actually playing at the Biltmore. Was it 2 weekends ago, or I can't remember. And this is like the, you know, small world of BC and Vancouver especially, but my old boss is childhood friends with her drummer, and he was there that night, and they had gone out for dinner before with her and the band, and then I saw him there, and so I got a nice introduction. It was really cool. I hope that made sense.
Nice.
It was like 2 degrees of separation kind of thing. Yeah, so it was good.
Cool. Shall we have another song?
Okay, sure.
If
I like. No, I hate it. I don't ever want to play. That's not true. Okay, this one is called Look At Us. It's also from the EP. And it's kind of about my 10-year high school reunion, because that kind of freaked me out a little. I know, it's people, like, when there's older people in the audience, they're like, oh, honey, wait till you're 25th or 30th. But for me, it was, like, kind of weird. I didn't go, but it kind of, you know, on Facebook, you can see how many people are getting married, having kids, like, people you never expected to, and...
Facebook is the new high school reunion.
It is.
I think it is, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, You don't really need to catch up when you know what they're doing. Ergo, I wrote this song called Look at Us. Because at this point, there's this wicked, heavy guitar solo, and it doesn't sound like this. It sounds really cool, but I'll try and do it anyways.
I feel like I should applaud before turning the mics on. Helps to add to the ambience.
Well, it's the thought that counts.
That was very lovely, Jody Dodge.
Oh, thank you.
On point, elite, good rhythms.
Thank you.
All around enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, good.
I have a few more questions for you.
Oh, right.
I'll save for later in the show.
Okay.
For now.
Don't trick me like that.
Favorite color? No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to change gears to an announce a recent discovery that we've made, Natalie and I.
Uh-oh.
Here on Shameless, 101.9 FM, CITR. You see, I've been seeing a lot of ads for the Double Down on TV, and it looks delicious.
Does it?
Kind of. Yeah, it does.
I've been talking about it for weeks.
I know. Even on the radio. It's getting sad. So I thought maybe I could curb, not that I'm a vegan, but I could curb my interest in it by having a vegan version of the Double Down. And when we made it, we made some interesting discoveries on how it stacks, if you pardon the pun, to a real Double Down. Basically, it's veggie chicken. Mm-hmm.
Chicken.
Veggie bacon. And what the hell? Some soy cheese.
Yep. Yeah. Jalapeno soy cheese, even. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we add some barbecue sauce on it.
Might as well.
So, chicken, cheese, bacon, bacon, cheese, chicken.
Wow.
That's how it went.
Calorie-wise, how do they fare?
According to the KFC Nutrition Guide, which you can find online, the Double Down has 610 calories, and the vegan Double Down wasn't too far off with 454 calories.
Mm.
So still quite a lot. But the KFC Double Down, 330 of those calories come from the fat. They said it in brackets on the nutrition guide, so I wrote it in brackets on my trusty piece of paper.
OPS, it's in the fat.
KFC Double Down has 37 grams of fat, and vegan Double Down has 27 grams of fat, but the vegan one has no trans fats. The real one has half a gram and 11 grams of saturated. The Double Down has 150 milligrams of cholesterol, which is less than one egg yolk.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. I didn't know that. And the vegan one has zero, so it's kind of safer, I guess. Still lots of fat,
if
but...
if you're eating five a day.
Yeah. KFC Double Down is 1,880 milligrams of sodium.
Oof.
Way more than you need on any given day. And the vegan Double Down is 1,320, which I think is also probably way more than you need in one day. KFC, 52 grams of protein, and vegan was 31 grams of protein. So they're not really drastically different. Pretty similar.
One is nice to animals and one's not.
Yeah, it's the only difference. If you really want to have your Double Down, may as well go for the real thing if you can.
If these stats interest you and you want to make your own vegan Double Down, here's one more stat for you. They cost three times as much.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So, let's move on and talk about a great festival that's coming to town. The part of the town. Right. One sec. Darn computers. It's called the Catalano Festival. It's going on next Saturday, July 23rd. From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., you're playing the after party, Jordy Dodge.
The after party at Cup of Joy's on 4th and Alma. Or is it? Well, it's on 4th at Alma. It can be confusing, but it's a pretty good spot, and they serve alcohol. Just thought I'd point that out. It is a coffee shop, but they do have beer and wine.
Considering
good place for an after party.
Mm-hmm.
Going for about 7 hours from 11 to 6, you can wander your way from Burrard to McDonald. And a cup of joe. But somewhere in the madness, this next band will be playing there. They are Sun Wizard. The track, Golden Girl. I'm thinking it's about Blanche. It's my guess. Maybe Dorothy. Probably Rose.
Look like a stone. Jump aside the knee. you doing?
Pretty good. It's the first question. What is the origin of Sun Wizard? I've heard there's a story that you were doing a spontaneous show on the island a couple years ago.
Yeah, we kind of went out there just to play. Kind of, I was just sort of tagging along with these guys, and they were playing when James was in the Green Hour for a little festival, and we sort of ended up kind of doing a half-baked acoustic thing at the Cambi in Nanaimo, and it was totally ridiculous, but ended up just like getting us stoked enough to start a band, and kind of came back and started writing songs and doing sort of like an acoustic night. And yeah, we needed a band, and we just kind of picked our best friends, so it was pretty easy. At the time, they weren't even really, well, at the time, Frankie had never really played an instrument, so it worked out great.
You also offer up a lot of credit to your influences. Do you feel that in a few years down the road, when Sun Wizard evolved into something maybe completely different from what you are now, would you still offer up as much credit to the bands that inspire you?
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's, in the genre that we're doing, no matter how far we stray from it, it'll have already been done. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't even matter. Like, it's just like, we'll just be doing something that sounds good and like, expresses ourselves, you know? So, I mean, there'd be no reason, even if, like, now we're talking about Fleetwood Mac and Neil Young, and in 3 years we're talking about Dinosaur Jr., or even if it's Sonic Youth, it'll still, you know, what we do is play, like, rock music, which has been happening for, like, 50 years, so.
It's pretty unlikely that we'll make a record that sounds like New York Ghosts and Flowers, but we might make one that sounds like Daydream Nation or something, you know what I mean? Or Murray Street, even. I don't know, like, we're just a pop band, and there's that canvas is a lot of music. There's a big gamut there. So there's something essential about it that all bands do. I don't know, choruses are good, aren't they? That's why I got into it. That's how I lost my girlfriend.
I stuck up, I defended choruses.
I'm eating your French rock. Not that good. Not that good.
So Positively 4th Avenue was recorded at the Mushroom Studios with Dave Ogilvy at the helm. What was that experience like?
It was great. Although, to be fair, it ended up being mostly kind of recorded and mixed by Colin Stewart. So we were already familiar with him and had recorded our EP with him. And Dave was great too. But it was amazing. We kind of, that was like our first pick, was to do it there, because it's just like such a cool looking building. And we also sort of secretly knew that it would be the last time that anyone would record with that old Neve board in there, so it was just, it looked so good, and it was like gonna be kind of demolished, so we did it, and it was great. It was fun. We just barbecued outside every day and walked down to Granville Island, and it was great. I mean, the room's awesome, and Colin was just killing it. Yeah, it was fun. We learned a lot too, I think. Like, we just started recording again with Steve Bays. We're way more just like streamlining it, way more kind of like know exactly how we want to sound. Like, when we did that stuff, we didn't really know exactly what we wanted to do. We sort of thought we knew, but then we just added tons of guitars and then took them all off, basically, was our technique.
So there's seems to be a surge in Vancouver pride in music lately. You know, Apollo Ghosts and Hastings Sunrise, Beelines, Positively 4th Avenue. Do you think there's an increase in the spirit of the boroughs of the city, you think?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just a backlash to that stupid, like, no-fun city ish. That ish is just, like, the... I shouldn't say that. It's so lame. I don't even know what it means, and it's so weird. So I don't know. Maybe people are just sick of hearing it. We did it specifically because it's stupid, and because, like, we just wanted to, like, we just wanted to make fun of ourselves for like being a part of a music scene, because it doesn't mean anything. It's all like, the only thing that's important is like music, you know, or the only thing important in music is music. So it's just like, I mean, we just wanted to make fun of it, because it's like, you know, hearing like, hearing that the music scene is going on in East Van and stuff, it's like, I don't know, it's cool, but it's just wanted to spread the love a bit, because it's just, I don't know. It's good everywhere.
Kits is a great place, having a festival there pretty soon, which you're also playing at.
Good link. Yeah. That was a good link. Good that link. Was a radio link. Yeah. That was a professional radio link. Yeah. Playing in Kits, yeah. And we haven't got a drummer and a bassist, so we have to find it. We've got our friends doing it, because our drummer is going to Europe for a week. And our bassist is having a baby, so that's kind of... He could be around for it, but we kind of have to play that show, so we... Malcolm's other band, Capital Six, the bassist and the drummer from that band, are going to play with us for that show, which will probably make the sound way better.
That's a joke. That was a joke. It's a bad joke.
No, it's going to be great. They're tight. They're tight friends and tight players, so they'll be great. And yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like it's going to be a great festival. So it's really cool they're doing it. Like, actually getting a chance to like close down Fourth and stuff. I mean, obviously there's reasons why like the kind of Kitsilano is sort of like avoided by maybe the people in this neighborhood. So hopefully that'll just kind of spread that, you know, just make. You know, hopefully it can just spread a little bit of fun into that neighborhood, because it is a great place. It's where the beach is at, you know. It's good. It's a good time there.
Yeah, where the beach is at.
Yeah. Where the bitch is at. Yo, where the bitch is at.
A place where there are no beaches was the video you did for World's Got a Handle. Oh, that was a bad link, sorry. That was rough.
This guy.
Yeah. Linking.
Where did you record that video?
We recorded that video, Jonathan, in towards Abbotsford, kind of past Fort Langley, towards Abbotsford, in a barn, in the dead of fall, I guess. And it was awful, the weather, and it was meant to be sunny, maybe, but we were running out of sun. We were running out of sun, and we were just in the back of a flatbed truck. We were strapped in, and we were just driving around in the wilderness.
It worked out good, because we were sort of like meant to do this sort of sunny road trip style music video, which was cool, and that was like kind of what we planned on. But like as it kind of drew closer and we actually went to do it, it was sort of like, you know, it just seemed like it was like, we were like, okay, I hope it's just not like a super cliche, like sunny, you know, like, so it actually, we got this crazy cold snap and it snowed, and then we like did the video like the same as we would have done it if it was totally sunny, but like in like snow gear basically with snow, and it, at least it's just not like, at least it's weird, you know, so it's great. It actually kind of, it was kind of perfect. Yeah.
A sunny disposition at least.
Yeah, exactly. It worked out good, because I mean that's what that song's about. It sounds sunny, and it is, it's like, it's optimistic, but it's like, you know, there's lyrics to it, right?
Well, thanks for the interview, dudes. It's a pleasure.
Anytime, man. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan.
Sun Wizard are some great dudes. Great, great dudes. They're playing
like
great, great dudes. They're playing the Catalano Festival next Saturday, somewhere in the madness. After the madness, Jordy Deutsch playing the after party. A cup of Joe.
Joys.
A cup of joys, that's what I said.
It's deceiving.
Thanks so much for coming by, Jordy Deutsch.
Thank you for having me.
Singing some songs.
Yes, it was fun.
It was fun. I had a great time. You can listen to this again and again and again and again over on CITR.ca, the podcast. And you can also see the playlist, which I'm going to put up there right now.
Ding. Yay.
Done. We'll leave you now for Folk Oasis with Sun Wizard. This is World's Got a Handle. Great video. You should check it out. Good night, Vancouver.
Oh, feed is in. Living on
Away.